If you've ever wondered why I present Jesus to you, it's because Jesus died for you on a cross. He's God's Son. He is God. And God so loved the world that He gave us the Lord Jesus. And Jesus came to this earth and He lived on this earth, and then He was taken and crucified on a cross. And when He died on that cross, He took upon Himself your sin and my sin. And He died. And when He died, your sin and my sin died with Him. And then by the power of God, He was raised on the third day. So that Jesus now is alive. And when Jesus came out of the grave, He didn't bring our sin with Him. Our sin remained in the grave.
God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on staying the hand of God. The encouraging word. Today's message from 2 Chronicles will begin in just a moment, but Dr. Don wants me to remind you that as we launch today's broadcast, we're available for you. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you at 866-899-WORD. We're available 24 hours a day, 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. We are having record numbers of folks signing up both online and via text to receive the daily email from Dr. Don. If you haven't done that, you can just text right now the word daily to 30500. That's right, just the word daily to 30500. We'll send you a quick link and you'll be signed up to receive that daily email from Dr. Wilton every morning. Now, today's message from Dr. Wilton.
You really are going to need your Bibles this morning. So I want to give you full opportunity to open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles and chapter 30. 2 Chronicles and chapter 30. While you are opening God's Word, I want you to know that God has an encouraging word for you today through His Word. By His power, His Spirit will speak to you. When Moses encountered the living God at the burning bush, there is a real sense in which what God said to him was this: Moses, I have something for you to do. And as long as you do what I tell you to do, I'm going to keep my hand upon you. But I want you to know that when you do not do what I want you to do, I'm going to take my hand off you. I'm going to ask you a question today as we study God's Word, because we are standing on holy ground. If you were to be asked right now, would you say that the hand of God is on you, or that God's hand is not on you? I'm asking a very deep question before God. How would you answer that question? Do you believe God's hand is on you, or do you just not know? Or do you believe God has taken His hand from upon you? Join me as we pray. Father, my prayer this morning, my prayer today, is that You would speak to us. This is serious business. Would not that we would ever find ourselves where the hand of God has been removed. Lord, I wonder today whether we as Americans believe that God's hand is upon our nation, or that He has removed His hand from us. Lord, we're going to ask some deep questions. What causes a man to live for the Lord and then all of a sudden run out and violate his marriage? Suddenly change in his demeanor? Is it possible that you've removed your hand from that person? Lord, today as we study this passage, this part of our journey through the story, through God's story, please show us a picture of ourselves in relation to you, and let us do what we need to do today to stay the hand of God. We pray this earnestly. We plea this prayer In Jesus' name, amen. This is an incredible journey. It's God's story. And today we are on a subject that runs very deep. And I want you to know, I don't know how this is going to come out. I'm just going to tell you what God's put in my heart. When you get into this passage on the demise or the collapse, the beginning of the end of the kingdom of Israel, we've got a picture of God taking his hand off a people. Israel, God's chosen people, were a blessed people. No question about it. Nobody would dispute that. At this stage in God's story, God just took his hand off them. Do you suppose he could do that to America? Could he do that to you? Could he do that to me? Where would we be if God took his hand off us? And the question is this, what causes him to do that? And if God takes his hand off us, how can we stay the hand of God? That's my subject today. Staying the hand of God. You can. God gives to us the choice. God invites us to stay his hand, to ask him not to remove his hand from us. Some of you are battling in your business because God's taken his hand off your business. You're messing around with God. Some of you are battling in your own personal life, your own conduct, because your heart's not in the right place. And God has said, I've told you, I'm just going to take my hand off you. You're on your own. You don't stand a chance when God takes his hand off you. You want to be on your own? You want to solve your own problems? You want to fight your own battle? Is that what you want? You want to paddle your own canoe? God will say, paddle. Let me show you what you're going to look like without my hand on you. You don't stand a chance. Man, we have proved that to ourselves. Nations have proved that. Time without number. You cannot look at our world today and come to the conclusion that any person or any nation can survive without the hand of God on them. Here in this broad spectrum, we've got the picture of the collapse of the kingdom. This is the beginning of the end for a nation so blessed. And into the scheme of things comes a man by the name of Hezekiah. Now, there's a lot in this picture because there are many battles and ups and downs. It just looks like our lives, really, if you study the story of Israel. Many ups, many downs. By the way, if I may just say this, the Christian life is not a perfect life. You and I will fail God many, many times, won't we? But God is the God of reconciliation and restoration. He brings us back. It's really the story, the ongoing story of the prodigal son. We may go off into a strange land, but when we come to our senses, we look back to our father's house. He says, come on back home. I'm going to put my hand on you. So the prodigal son went off. He was by himself and he ended up in a pig pen. Came to his senses, looked up, saw his father's house, went back to his father's house, and his father killed the fatted calf and put a ring on his finger, welcomed him home. This is what I want us to be able to really get a hold of, because this is true for your life and my life and for all of us. It's true for us as a nation. We had better be very careful in this nation. If you're going to ask Don personally, I believe God is taking his hand off America. We better watch out, Americans. Let's not rest on our laurels. Greatest country in the world. Everything revolves around us. It is changing so rapidly. The biggest movements of God are no longer taking place here in America. They're taking place everywhere else. We're becoming owned by the rest of the world. We're not even respected like we once were. We can't even make up our minds who we are. We become a divided nation. The very definition of the word nation means that we're of one heart and one mind. And our people are not of one heart and of one mind. That doesn't mean to say we're the same people. But nations are of one heart and of one mind. And when it comes to the Lord, when you study the nation of Israel, there are some very deep truths here. God's saying something. And in the middle of all of this, you had the kings of Assyria coming against. They were wreaking havoc. They were sending these people into exile. And as I told you, your life group leaders will give you a lot more detail that I'm giving you this morning in these few moments. But I want us to focus on what took place. The nation was collapsing. The people were being divided. And they were turning against God. And in the midst of this, Hezekiah shows up. So in Hezekiah chapter 30, I'm going to do something a little bit differently because I want you to see where I got the phrase hand of God from. What prompted my thoughts as I was studying this? Just look at verse 12 of 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 12. The hand of God was also on Judah to give them one heart to do. I just want to read that again. The hand of God was on Judah with the purpose of giving them one heart to do, to be all that God wanted them to be. The hand of God. What Hezekiah did was that he made a public proclamation to the people. And this is what he said to them. And I'm going to just pick up at verse 6 of 2 Chronicles chapter 30. So couriers went out throughout all of the all Israel and Judah with letters from the king and his princes as the king had commanded, saying, O people of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that he may turn again to the remnant of you who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria. Do not be like your fathers and your brothers who were faithless to the Lord God their fathers, so that he made them a desolation, as you see. Do not now be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord and come to his sanctuary, which he has consecrated forever, and serve the Lord your God, that his fierce anger may turn away from you. Isn't that a beautiful statement?
What a powerful message from Dr. Wilton. As we strive to serve the Lord God in every way, I pray that you would know that we're ready to pray you through whatever situation you're in. Dr. Wilton insists we pause here in the middle of the broadcast to let you know we're available for you. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you. We can do that on the phone at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. But we can also connect online at theencouragingword.org. It's our joy and privilege to just be available, even at 3 a.m. in the morning. Dr. Don talks often about the necessary need we have of having some 2 a.m. friends in our life. If we could be your 2 a.m. friend to pray you through whatever's going on in your life, know we stand ready to connect. Again, the number is 866-899-9673, or you can meet us keyboard to keyboard online at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton, Staying the Hand of God.
For if you return to the Lord, your brothers and your children will find compassion with their captors and return to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him. So the couriers went from the city to city throughout the country of Ephraim and Manasseh and as far as Zebulun. But there were people out there that laughed and mocked to scorn what they were trying to do. However, some of the men of Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem, and the hand of the Lord was on them to give them one heart to do what the king and the princes commanded them to do by the word of the Lord. That's a powerful passage, isn't it? Almost seems rather somewhat redundant that I would try to preach or explain this. Just if I can have your attention for a second, sin in the life of all people causes God to take his hand off you. So here's what happened. God created people, Adam and Eve. His hand was on them. They lived in the Garden of Eden. They were perfect. They sinned. God took his hand off. Said, you're out. Then God gave to them his plan for their redemption. And he has done that through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. When God takes his hand off you, you cannot live. You might survive in this life, but you won't live in him. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why I want to invite you to give your life to Christ. You don't give your life to Christ, God's hand's not on you. His omnipotent, powerful, loving, gracious hand. And so it is with nations. The story of Israel is our story. When nations live for God, they live lives, they operate according to God's precepts and principles. You cannot murder millions of babies through abortion and think God's just going to turn a blind eye. In Florida alone, this past year, 65,000 abortions officially reported. Babies murdered. Now, what does God say about life and about the sanctity of life? Not what do we say, or what does Roe v. Wade say, or what does the Supreme Court say, or what do people say, or what's the public opinion, or what's politically correct? What does God say? I'm just talking about one issue. The story of Israel is very clear. Everything about Israel, and when you get to this point in time where the kingdom begins to collapse, there are things that can be said about Israel at this point in time, the time of Hezekiah, that are unequivocal. And post, when his son, we haven't even got there, but when his son gets into power, it gets even worse. You talk about an exile. No wonder they're going to be cast into exile in Babylon. No wonder they're going to be dispersed across the universe. No wonder their land is going to be given to foreigners. No wonder they're going to be owned by everybody else. Everything about God was under attack when it came to Israel. Number one, they rejected the very name of God. God's name is holy. God made that very clear from the beginning. Be very careful what it is that you do regarding my name, because it's at my name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ alone is Lord. I might have mentioned just a week ago, preaching at Genesis, the most popular phrase even among our Christian young people today is OMG. And I'm hearing young people say OMG, and OMG stands for short, oh my God. And even Christian young people today are trying to get around the issue of desecrating the name of God by just simply saying OMG. It's not just what we speak, it's what we believe. These people rejected the very name of God. They rejected the very word of God. God spoke to Israel. Time without number, he said, this is the way, walk in it. And I've given you my word, and they said, we will not accept your word. Does God, through his word, have anything to say about the manner with which we conduct ourselves, our lives, our speech, our attitude, our heart? Does God have anything to say about marriage? Does he have anything to say about business? Does God have anything to say about worship? Does God have anything to say through his word about us? Oh, yes, he does. Israel rejected the very word of God, but they also rejected the very people of God. This passage makes it very clear. Even when God spoke and the king came and he presented the facts to them and he begged them, there were those that scoffed at the people of God. I've made this statement before and I will make it again. We're facing a presidential election in 2 years in the United States of America. This, the greatest nation that has ever existed, this beautiful land, from sea to shining sea, this place that has been so blessed, where God has poured out his blessings upon us in every regard. I should imagine that in the next several years, who knows, with all that goes on in our world, is it possible that a Muslim could be elected president of the United States? I dare say if somebody who ran for president in this country stood up and made a statement that they were an atheist, they could be elected president of the United States. An agnostic? I wouldn't be surprised if a Buddhist could get elected president of the United States. I wouldn't be surprised if an out-and-out pagan could be elected president of the United States. But if a man or woman were to run in this nation and were to stand on the platforms and go before the microphones and say, I want to be president and I will be president to all the people in this great nation. But I want you to know that I am a born again believer. I fear in my heart that in this beautiful nation, that person has just declared themselves unelectable in these United States of America. That's what Israel did. They rejected the people of God. You better not anymore in this country claim to know Christ or to be a Christ follower and think you're going to get elected to something. They rejected the very worship of God. How pathetically unpopular it became that the people would go to the temple. How rapidly everything else became important. So what was Hezekiah doing? God was demonstrating to the people of Israel that he was removing his hand from them.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, and the reality of any of us when we reject the word of God, there are consequences. But here's the great joy and the great truth of today's message from Dr. Wilton. Though we have rejected God in the past, his arms are open wide. His mercy covers even our harsh rejecting of who he is, a loving father pursuing us. Matter of fact, we believe God is using this very radio station, this very radio broadcast, to pursue you, to let you know he loves you and he has a plan for your life. We'd love to speak with you about it. Our prayer line is 866-899-WORD. It's also our connect line in a number of ways. It's just a way to get a hold of us, 866-899-9673. We would love to pray with you, pray for you. As a matter of fact, before we do that, would you take a minute and hear these thoughts from our pastor, Dr. Wilton?
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin. And I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
If the Lord has spoken to you and changed your life today, if you have given your heart to Jesus, if you've turned your life around and this is a brand new day of rededication for you, you need to tell someone. And why not tell us? Tell Dr. Don. He would love to receive your email. It's just his first name, Don, D-O-N, at theencouragingword.org. Email him. He would love to hear from you, Don, at theencouragingword.org. But perhaps if you'd like to do what I enjoy doing, and that's hear someone's voice, pray with you and for you, won't you give us a call and tell us now what God's doing in your life? Our number is 866-899-WORD. Easy to remember. Here, you can jot it down or maybe store it in your cell. 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with one of us 24 hours a day. Excited to pray with you and pray for you about what God is doing in your life. And oh, by the way, thank you. So many have been joining the team as encouragers. If you want to know what it's like to be an encourager, here's Dr. Wilton with some of the details.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org. That number again is 866-899-WORD, 866-899-9673. It'll connect you with one of us, happy to talk, to listen, to pray 24 hours a day, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. I hope you'll join us tomorrow as we continue in this powerful message from Dr. Don Wilton.